You know, there's stories that you hear when you're a kid, and there's stories. But today, this is one of those things that becomes a reality for me, and it's one of the coolest stories I've ever had a chance to cover. Tim Durkin in today here on the Lauren Brooker Show, as Lauren is off. And sitting across from me is Scott Trudeau. And Scott is somebody who the last name would go back with me 30, 40 years, and then with my parents and back and back. And of course, Trudeau, just in the area, is certainly a well-known name. Scott owns Scott Trudeau Construction. He's a family man, lives in the Tweed area. But today we're here in Marlbank, which we could call the GTA, the Greater Tweed Area. Basically, if you drew a line between Stokoe and Roblin, you'd kind of run into where we are here in Marlbank. For people east of Belleville, they'll know. Perhaps people that are west of Belleville, they don't know where we are. But we're right on the edge of Dry Lake today. And a little bit of today is going to be a history of what exactly Marlbank became so well known for. And for that story, we have to go back more than a century. And that's why we're talking with Scott Trudeau today. We're on his property beside a 60,000 pound to 70,000 pound piece of history today. First of all, Scott, I appreciate you taking the time and a perfect day here to be where there was a cement plant about a century ago, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Thanks for having me today, Tim. I really appreciate it. And this piece where we're sitting on right now, as you can see right in front of us here, we're sitting right where the process actually would begin. These are the silos, I think, where they would start bringing the material in from the dredges in here.
So this was a cement plant roughly in the late 1800s to the early 1900s. This area was known for marl. Can you explain to us exactly what marl is?
Well, you know, I don't really know how to explain it. It's you really got to just touch it and feel it on your own. It's kind of like the best way I think you can describe it is the kinetic sand or the magic mud that the kids make with the
the stuff kids play with that kind of holds
it's like
together.
You move it around with your hand really fast, it becomes hard, and then it just runs through your fingers.
It was used in the process for making cement. Now, it ended up being a type of cement that was really, really strong. Yep. And this area just seemed to have a ton of it.
Well, yeah, it's kind of it's rare. I don't know really many places else that it even exists. I've only personally seen it in my travels in construction in this area, and it's it's really amazing that this is where it these guys were smart enough to figure this out and find it here and start to mine it and able to start to use it and figure out the process how to make it into Portland cement.
And so where we're sitting today on the property of the old cement factory, there was a couple of hundred people that worked here more than a century ago. We're talking pre-World War I, and we still see the remnants because of the quality of the cement. Yep. of the property itself. For people that are curious, give us a bit of a geography of where we are today. If somebody's listening, perhaps in Trenton or Belleville or Cobourg, where are we exactly today?
Well, we're right in between, exactly in the middle. We're right between Marlbank Road and Moneymore Road. We're probably almost dead center here, sitting along the edge of the lake here. And we're on the east end of those two roads. And if you were to drive to the end of Moneymore Road or drive to the end of Marlbank Road, on either your left or right side, you would actually be able to see the lake from your vehicle. And that's where we are right now.
And almost halfway between the 401 and Highway 7 is where Dry Lake was. This is a man-made lake. From the research that you've done, obviously you put some research in. You've bought a property here, which takes a lot of money, which takes research. Tell us about a little bit about the history of this site and what went on here more than a century ago.
Well, it's a really amazing spot, Tim. As you said, there was over 200 men working at this site, this particular plant, and out in the mine where the lake is actually. Yes, it's not a lake; it is a mine, and it's just flooded now. So it's not it's a man-made basically pond now, but. Right. And people actually worked and lived here. There was actually houses. There's remnants of houses and stuff. So they worked here, and maybe some of the bosses and stuff lived here. And very, very interesting. So they developed this figured out the marl could be turned into Portland cement, cooking it at like 1600 plus degrees in the kilns, and they were able to secure deals as big as sending this Portland cement to the Panama Canal.
So you're saying that Marl Bank is part, the Panama Canal is Marl Bank Ontario.
The Panama Canal has Marl Bank Ontario cement in it.
What I find amazing about that is I used to brag to people that the Picton cement plant is the Don Valley Parkway, and I always thought that that was a really cool bragging right, but this kind of takes it to the next level. The just the infrastructure that they must have had to get it from Marl Bank, there's no real one-way quick flight to the Panama from Marl Bank, so what was the process of getting cement from this area to the canal?
Well, these guys were almost like genius, I would say, at their time. They were able to not only secure this plant and build that, they also they built their own railway. They owned a lot of the Quinney Railway. They built their own railway from here right down to Deserano, and they had a port there, and they loaded steamships and sent it down to Panama. Like, these guys were really ahead of their time, and you could imagine all the work that these guys would go through to not only make these deals but build the railway. And you know, these guys were really invested here. They were really put a lot of time and thought into this.
The Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ. My name is Tim Durkin, talking with Scott Trudeau today. And the location we are, we're getting to a little bit of the history. But the reason that we're doing this broadcast today is the fact that you've pulled a piece of history out of what was a story that I heard as a child. And we're going to get to that. But in fact, there's with us today a train that has been pulled out of the bottom of the mine or the man-made lake, which is your property, the site of the old cement plant that is here today. This plant was a major economic driver in this area, in Lennox and Addington County, Hastings County area. There was a lot of people that worked or lived away from home while they worked here on this site. Now, the company ended up being sold at one point, I'm to understand. Can you give us a little bit of history on that?
Yeah, from what I understand, the company was sold. The Rothman brothers had sold the company in 1909, roughly, to the Canadian Concrete Company, which started, they bought out Strathcona Cement and Marl Bank Cement here, the cement works in Marl Bank, and they decided to move it down to Point Anne, where they had a big cement plant, and they're on the Lake Ontario and maybe cheaper and in a bigger, better spot.
Right. And Point Anne, for those, obviously a lot of people know Point Anne and know the plant there. I think, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Bobby Hull had family members, the hockey player, had family members that worked at that plant. If we look back at the history, and of course, Point Anne is now just part of Belleville, the way it's set up. This plant ended up being kind of an interesting fallout with all of it, because it was a good job back then. There was people that ended up moving to the area. I mean, in Marl Bank, there's homes made with that cement.
Oh, it's 100%. Yeah, they used the cement right from here and built a lot of the homes. And there was grocery stores. I think there was two grocery stores, a couple like taverns or hotels, a couple blacksmith shops. There was over 1,400 and some, close to 1,500 people living in the little town of Marl Bank, which is, you know, people could say a ghost town now. You would hardly believe this could happen here. And then, it would have been a totally different scenario. I believe Marl Bank was actually called Allenstown, and they switched the name to Marl Bank when this operation got going.
One of the things that this property has really need, and one of the reasons, so we, when you and I had talked about doing this interview, we said, do we do it in Tweed by your place? Do we do it in Belleville at the radio station? But we get an opportunity to kind of see the visual of this site. For people that drive Marl Bank Road, I think it probably is just part of the background for people that grew up here.
Absolutely.
But when you drive by here as somebody that doesn't do it all the time, there are what look like farmer's silos. It looks like sides of buildings. What are some of the remnants of physical property that's left here more than a century later?
Yeah, so you're looking at stuff that was built here in the early 1800s. There's obviously these wet silos that are right in front of us here. There's six of those.
What would those be? What's a wet silo?
Well, from what I figured out, I believe this is kind of the start of the process. They would have put the marl into these silos, and it would have went from there into like vats and stuff where they would agitate it. I think, I don't know what the whole process was. I'm not 100% there yet, but they'd vat it. And then eventually it would get to the kilns when it was, you know, at the right whatever texture maybe or whatever. And they'd put it through these kilns at 1600 degrees, which if you can see, Tim, over there on the on our left here, that big roof you see and that big brick wall or the stone wall, that is actually where the kiln room was. That's where they dried the cement right there.
And we're talking probably tons and tons and tons of cement every single day. Is there any research to kind of what kind of production was coming out of this place?
There's some excellent photos of Queen's University and the Lennox and Addington archives and some in Tweed at our municipality in Tweed there. The Heritage Center have a lot of good information. They were making about 800 tons, which would be a lot back then, you could imagine, of dry Portland cement a day when they were running at their peak.
That's just mind-boggling when we're thinking about it. We always equate technology and genius to the latest version of the phone. Or whatever is coming out today, but the idea of what they were able to achieve back then, just the train tracks, I mean, they would have had to have put thousands of hours just into getting it off the property, because this is not a convenient place for this marl to be located.
Well, they had the main rail line right on the Marlbank Road, actually, Tim, where you pulled up today. That's the main line, the rail line, that would have supplied not only Sprott Coal and supply to keep this the bloodline of this plant going. There's actually big pits out here where the trains would drive over cement little boxes and dump the coal inside and get augered up to these plants, and then they'd also take away the concrete that they were making, the cement.
And so this goes from Marlbank to Deserano and then out to the world. When we come back, we're going to get to know a little bit more about the reason that we're here today, and that's the history and the setup of what might be one of the coolest discoveries that I've ever seen in my life. And I think a lot of people are going to agree when it starts to become more known, the train. And it's got little neat things like GTR and Grand Trunk as part of this piece of history that is here in Marlbank. And hopefully we're going to be able to share with a lot more people. The Lauren Brooker Show continues on CJBQ.